Well, amen. What a blessing it is and has been just being in this place tonight. And so praise the Lord for this, just another opportunity to be in church, assembling ourselves together. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, Wednesday nights we've been studying on the life of John the Baptist, the life of John the Baptist. We've only been in it just three, four messages. And the question that we wanted to answer and the question we wanted to ask and then answer was, who was John the Baptist? Who was John the Baptist? Now, once we get that answered fully, then we'll go back and we'll study the very birth of John and all that takes place in his ministry. But the first thing is, who was John the Baptist? Well, we've been studying in the book of Luke in chapter 7, where Jesus revealed who John was and what he said about him. He said much about him. He told us what he wasn't, and then he told us what he was. And so we've been able to glean much from what Jesus has already said about John the Baptist, who he was and who he wasn't, and the example that he can be to all of us, and looking to look to John to follow after this forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing that he said about John that we continued with was, he said he was much more than a prophet. He was a prophet, possibly the end of all the Old Testament prophets. He is the one that is looked to either as the one that God uses to begin the New Testament church age, or that God used to close out the Old Testament law and prophets. And that's what we'll be looking at. Just what, whichever side of that you fall on, it's all right. You know, it's okay. If you want to look to John as being the last of the Old Testament prophets, or the beginning, the first one of the New Testament preachers, then that's fine. That's fine. I think we can do either. I choose to look at him as being both. Amen. But he was the messenger that Jesus has said that was prophesied in the Old Testament when he was studying that. Well, if you go over to Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to be reading here verse 7 down to verse 15, because it also repeats some of what Jesus said in Luke in chapter 7, but it gives a little bit more insight into the timing of John the Baptist, the timing of his coming. And so go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together tonight. Matthew chapter 11, verse 7 to verse 15, and again, we're looking at who is John the Baptist and looking at what the Bible says about who he is. And so Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. The Bible says, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And they departed, and as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" He said, no, he wasn't that. "But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment?" No, he wasn't that. "Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet?" And he said, now you've got it. He said, "Yea, that's what he was. I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." He was great because of his knowledge of the Christ, but all of those in heaven have full knowledge now. And that's what it's talking about. That's how they're greater. They're greater in knowledge, greater in understanding, greater in knowledge. That's what it's talking about there. We studied that. We've already preached that. But then he says, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied," and I want you to see this, "until now." And in verse 12, let's back up 1-2, because he says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." We're going to be looking at that tonight. "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until now. And if you will receive it, this is Elias," or Elijah, "which was for to come." And then he says, "He that hath ears to hear," if you have that spiritual ear, let him hear. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come before you tonight, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in church tonight. Again, we pray for those that have a desire to be here but could not be here tonight. I ask somehow, some way that you'd just bless them tonight. And then for us that have this opportunity and we've taken advantage of it and we're here tonight, I pray that we would sense your presence in this place as we already have through the beginning of the services, but now more than ever how important it is as we study this passage of Scripture. I pray, God, that you would give us a spiritual ear to hear what you have to say to us, and I pray that you'd use me to help bring this truth out that would be an encouragement and a strength to every believer that's here tonight. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Until now. So Jesus is saying that it was one way, and then John came, and now it's going to be a different way. Do you see that? I mean, that's what we've already studied much about John the Baptist and what the Bible says about him, what Jesus himself said about John the Baptist. Very important to understand because that's who he was and that's who he is even tonight as he is in glory today. But we find here that as he continues in his study of John the Baptist, he says, until now. And so something has changed with the coming of John the Baptist. God designed his plan to usher in this New Testament church age that we are living in today, that Jesus Christ himself established. He established this New Testament church age. But we find that it was in God's design, his plan, it would begin with the coming of John the Baptist. John would be the forerunner, the messenger that was sent before the Messiah would come to point people to the Messiah. And so we find here that in verse 10 he says, "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I will send my messenger before thy face, which shall appear, that which shall prepare the way before thee." The way before thee. Verse 12, "And from the days of John," Jesus signifying that something changed when John was born, when John came, "and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force." So there's battles taking place. There is a battle taking place because of what John was about to usher in, what John was about to preach, and what John was about to present to the world. For all the prophets in the law, Old Testament, prophesies until John. So we find there until John meant that underneath the law in the Old Testament, the way that God spoke to humanity, the way that God dealt with humanity, it was about to change. And John was more than a prophet because John had greater knowledge than any of the prophets of the Old Testament. For now he saw the mystery that the prophets of the Old Testament preached of and spoke of and prophesied of, but didn't fully understand it. So now we find John coming, and he knows exactly what is to come in Jesus Christ, and he knows that he has a message that the world needs to hear concerning how Jesus is about ready to change everything and fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. John, to prepare the way by preaching and baptizing. Preaching, no longer is it going to be the same message of the prophets that he is going to come, but that he's here. John now is introducing the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets. So it's a different one. None of the other Old Testament prophets were able to preach what John is going to preach. They did not have the knowledge, the insight that now John will have. And he would do something else that none of the Old Testament prophets did. He would baptize. Thus, he was given the name John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3. Go back there with me. John to prepare the way by preaching and baptizing. That's what Jesus said about John. Again, we're in the study of John the Baptist, and we want to find out the answer to this question, who is John the Baptist? And then we're going to go back and we're going to be studying every bit of the life of John the Baptist. But first of all, we've got to know who he is. We've already studied many things concerning what Jesus said about John the Baptist, and now we're looking at this, the idea that things changed when John came. Up until now, he said it was done this way, but up until now, things have changed. Until John, it was done this way. Now John's come, something new is going to take place. Well, John came, and look what he says. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, in those days came John the Baptist. Now he is establishing the ministry that God has called him to, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. So John comes and he is changing things because he's much more than a prophet. He has greater knowledge than the prophets of the old. And now he is preaching in the wilderness. And this is what he's preaching. Repent ye. Y'all sinners, I don't care if you're Abraham's children or not, whether you're Jew or Gentile, God has a message for the whole world. You need to repent. You're lost. You have a sin nature. And without repentance and without the gift of salvation, you're going to die and you're going to go to a devil's hell. That's what was being preached. Until now, that had not been preached that way. You look and study the Old Testament, it's live by the law. Have faith that there is coming a Messiah. They were saved the same way in the Old Testament by faith, but they had faith in looking forward to the Messiah coming. And that they were to live by the law, and they were bound by the law. But now John's come. Changes everything. The fullness of time has come. God's going to send forth his child, his son, the only begotten son, born of a virgin. It would begin with John. Preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven. Now, what does that kingdom of heaven, what is that saying? The ways of God. The ways of God, the ways of God in heaven brought down to earth. It's at hand. It's right here. It's for all of us to understand the ways of God. It's for all of us to understand that the ways of God of heaven has now been brought to this earth. And God has a purpose and a plan for humanity. And God has a purpose and a plan for your life and how you're to live it. It's at hand. And the first thing that you need to do is repent. You can't live the way God wants you to live. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This New Testament church age is being ushered in, and Jesus Christ is going to reveal so much more, but you cannot live it until you acknowledge you can't live it on your own. You've acknowledged that if you've tried to live by the Old Testament law. It was there to help us to understand that there's no way that anyone could live by the Old Testament law and not fail in some capacity. They realized it. They couldn't. That's why they had the priests in the Old Testament. That's why they had the blood sacrifices. They could not. It was there as a school teacher to help them to realize, I can't do it on my own. Right. And so now John comes and he says, all right, now the fullness of time has come. John comes. He says, all right, now this is what's at hand. This is what God's message in this New Testament church age, it's what it's been all about all along. Repent. You're a sinner. For the kingdom of heaven, the ways of God are at hand. They're here. You can know and you can live as God would have you to live. It's at hand. Look down at verse 6. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So John knew that Jesus was going to go to the cross as a sacrificial lamb. He was going to be buried. He was going to go to the tomb. He's going to be in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, and then he was going to be resurrected. And so John says, this is a message. I want you to repent, and then I want you to identify with what Jesus is going to do. Because they hadn't experienced baptism. That was not in the law. You won't find that in the law. Until now. Jesus says, until John, it was this way. Now John has come, it's this way. The fulfillment of what I gave you in the first testament. The fulfillment. Amen? Everybody follow me. This is good stuff. It really is. This will help you. And so now we find John comes and he says, repent. That's what every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability, the first thing that they need to do in this life is acknowledge their sin nature and repent of that. And receive the free gift of God through Jesus Christ. Salvation. And then identify with him through believer's baptism. John came, the new way, preaching repentance and baptism. Since John's coming, the ways of God or his kingdom began to change, and this change was faced with violent opposition. Did you see that? Go back there at our text. Since John has come, there has the kingdom of God or the ways of God have been faced with violent opposition. Verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now. Now Jesus is speaking this. Since John started presenting this truth, since John has been revealing this fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, the kingdom of heaven or the ways of God on this earth suffereth violence, and the violence taketh it by force. Now many believe that he is speaking of the opposition from the scribes and the Pharisees, because they did not want to give up their positions. Amen. In Judaism, they did not want to give up the New Testament law. They did not want to give up their positions because people came to them. They were the priests, and they were elevating themselves, and people had to come to them, and they opposed that. And so now there's a great battle taking place, saying this is not the will of God. John is not representing God. He's not the representing the Savior, Jesus Christ. He's not the forerunner, and this Jesus is not the Christ. And they would continue with violent opposition. Now, Luke in chapter 16, look over there with me. It gives us more insight into knowing that's what he's talking about. Luke in chapter 16, what he reveals here. Luke in chapter 16 and verse 14. The Bible says, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard of all these things, and they derided him. They didn't believe. They wouldn't want to believe what Jesus was teaching. And Jesus was teaching that which was prophesied in the Old Testament, what John was pointing them to. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. You're more interested in what men have to say in men's ways than you are in God. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. So now we see who he's talking to now is relating back to what he said about John. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth it into it. It's for every man to acknowledge their sin nature. God has a love for all humanity, not just for the Jewish race. God wants the whole world to be saved. Jesus died for the whole world. But there is violent opposition to that. Can I tell you there is still violent opposition to that? Because even though he was talking about the scribes and the Pharisees who were opposing that, Satan was behind it. And Satan is still behind it. Still would love to blind men to their need of repentance. Satan would still love to blind men to their need to understand who God is. Their need to understand that God has a purpose and a plan for all humanity. Through Christ, all humanity would be offered a new and living way. Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews in chapter 10 very clearly reveals that to us. Verse 19. He says, now, brethren, now that you receive Christ, now that you have this truth, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Wait a minute. We can't do that. Only the high priest could enter into the holiest of holies. Because if anyone else tried to enter in, they would be killed. No one can come into the presence of a holy God. That was Old Testament. We have to take our sacrifice to the priest, and they have to be the ones to offer it. That is Old Testament. But now, what has changed, what Jesus is ushering in, is an opportunity for everyone, Jew and Gentile. If you repent, take advantage of the kingdom of heaven that's at hand, and receive the gift of God, you have access to this holies of holies. You have access to God Himself 24/7. Amen. Amen. Didn't have that until John. That's what it says. And then he goes on to say, now he said, enter into the holiest holy by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Jesus isn't dead. Amen. Amen. He ever lives to make intercession for you. It's a new covenant. It's the New Testament. The First Testament did its job. The First Testament prepared you for the truth of the Second, or this New Testament. By new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's the New Testament. That's the New Testament church. That's the New Testament way. That's what John would usher in. Wasn't that way before John. But now that John's come, that means that Jesus is here. Because in prophecy, he was a forerunner. He would be the one pointing people. So he had to be here for John to say, that's him. Behold, the Lamb of God. Until then, it wasn't that way. Praise the Lord. So a new way. Go back with me now. Go back with me to our text. Who's John? Well, he's the one that's ushering in this new way. He's the one that is pointing everyone to Jesus Christ and telling everyone that they can be saved. Verse 14 and 15, even though there's going to be violent opposition to it, as it revealed there, then he says in verse 14 and 15, John would be compared to Elijah. Still trying to get them to understand Old Testament, New Testament. An example of the Old Testament that would be exactly an example of the New Testament. And what they were, who they were, and what they were doing, the same, but had a different message. The message in the Old Testament, look forward to Him, He's coming. Let's abide by the law. Let's do everything according to the law. Let's not break the law. Let's make sure that we're living it. New Testament, let's look to the way that Jesus ushered in. Let's look to Christ for an example. But He is again presenting John. So look at verse 14. And if you will receive it, if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath an ear, ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you need to understand this. If you have spiritual understanding, you can understand what I'm talking about here, that John would be like Elijah. Some want to say that John was Elijah. The Bible does not teach reincarnation. Now they say, well, Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. He's going to come back. Now he's coming back as John the Baptist. No, I believe Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, but he's coming back in the tribulation. As one of the two witnesses. I truly believe that. Now, if you have different, I'm not going to fight you over that. Amen. But we know there's going to be two witnesses, and they're going to have a tremendous impact on the world during the tribulation period. On the Sunday nights, we're teaching on the book of Revelation, and we're seeing some of this and what's going to take place there. But that's not who John was. Not Elijah reincarnated. The Bible does not teach reincarnation. He didn't come back as somebody different. He'll come back as Elijah. Elijah in the Old Testament will come back as Elijah only in the New Testament. But he said, and if you will receive this, this is Elijah, or Elisus, which is Elijah. Okay, now, in order to, whenever there seems to be a contradiction in Scripture, you have to admit your ignorance of the Bible. Because there are no contradictions in Scripture. So my interpretation of this, if I think that he's saying that John is Elijah, my interpretation is wrong. So I have to look for more Scripture that will help me understand what he's talking about. Well, and we have that. Luke in chapter 1. Luke in chapter 1. His angel of the Lord. Revealing to Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, what his son would become, who his son would become. He says in verse 17, speaking of John the Baptist, and he shall go before him, go before Jesus, the forerunner, that's who John is, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Okay, so he didn't say that he's going to come, it's going to be Elijah. No, he's going to be the son of Zacharias. He's not Elijah reincarnated. The Bible doesn't teach reincarnation. But it does say that he's going to be like Elijah. He's going to have the same spirit. He's going to have the same power of that what you can identify with in the Old Testament as the prophet Elijah. He's telling him, your son is going to be as powerful and as influential as was Elijah. Amen. And that's what he's telling us. So John would be compared to Elijah, not Elijah, but like Elijah. And can I tell you, it's an example for every born-again believer. Because it was the Spirit of God that empowered Elijah, and it was the Spirit of God that would empower John the Baptist. And it's the very same Spirit of God who can empower you and I. So we can learn from that. And what kind of spirit Elijah had is the same kind of spirit that John would have. And I believe it's the same spirit that God would have us to have. That's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about his attitude, his character, his courage, his devotion to God. He's going to have the spirit. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, that person's mean-spirited? You know? That's what he's talking about here. His testimony. His demeanor. His characteristics. John the Baptist would have the very same, if you will, spirit, his presence, as you can go back to and look to somebody in the Old Testament, like Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, the first mention of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17. The first mention of Elijah. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now he's a prophet of God, and he's standing for the king, this old rotten, evil king that could have had him killed outside the spirit and the power of God. Stands before him, and he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth." As sure as I'm standing here, this is God's message. To ensure that, I want you to know that I am confident that God is alive and God has given me a message, and I am going to give you God's message. That's the spirit that he is presenting this to King Ahab. "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." That's pretty bold. That's pretty courageous. That shows a devotion to his God. Well, the same spirit. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. They want the people to know that I'm God's messenger. We just seen this a minute ago, but the Bible says, in those days, the first mention of John the Baptist, as far as his ministry, preaching in the wilderness of JSA, in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Telling everyone, repent. Well, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings if you tell them that they're a sinner, if you tell them that they're going to go to hell if they die. It's just not politically the right thing to do today. I think we ought to give it in the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of John the Baptist. It's just matter of fact. It's just truth. I don't want to be mean-spirited. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to offend you. If the word of God offends you, so be it. But you need to know what the Bible says. You need to know the truth. It was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord." That's what he was doing. Make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and of a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Do you know what? If you go back, and we don't have time to do it, you study Elijah, he dressed the same way. Amen. Just, I think when you've got the same spirit, you want to dress the same way. You want to dress to please the Lord. Well, same spirit. Both bold and zealous. Elijah preached to King Ahab. He told him that God is going to bring judgment down upon the nation. 1 Kings 18, 17, 18. John preached to Herod and told him that God was going to judge him for his sins against his brother's wife and for how he was living his life. Now, that takes boldness to stand before those who could have you beheaded and still preach the truth. Tell him what God wanted him to tell him. I believe that's the same spirit that we need to give the message of God out today. There's opposition to the message of the true message of God today. You see, the world doesn't want to hear what the Bible says about homosexuality. And we don't want to be mean-spirited about it, but we want to tell them in truth and love, if you have that lifestyle, you're not going to go to heaven. If you live that kind of lifestyle, you've been blinded by the philosophies of the world, the ways of man. You're not listening to the Almighty God and what he says. It's an abomination to God. Again, don't want to be mean-spirited about it. But if you truly love people like God loves people, you'll want them to know the truth and try to help them to come to that truth of what the Bible says. It's not my word, it's God's word. Somebody says, well, what do you think about it? Well, let's look to see what God, whatever God says about it, that's what I think about it.
Amen.
It's not what you want to hear, but if the Bible says it's an abomination, I believe it's an abomination. If the Bible says that this is God's will for every man, and this is God's will for every woman, then I believe that is what is God's will for every man, that is what is God's will for every woman. If that's what the Bible says, then that's what I believe about it. I believe that's a spirit that Elijah had, and that's the spirit that John had, and that's the spirit that Christ had. That's the same very spirit that you and I need to have. They both wanted to lead people to serve God. I'm running out of time, so I can't go through a lot of what I was going to, but they both wanted to lead people to serve God. 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah said, gather all the people together. And if God be God, serve Him. If Baal be God, serve him. Bottom line is, if I'm wrong, and the Bible's not the Word of God, and there is not a Creator God, then don't live as if there is a Creator God. Serve Baal. But if God be God, serve Him. They put them to a test. Oh, great story. If you've not read it, if it's been a while since you read it, go back and read it again. Great story. Because that's why he said, let's just look at the facts. Let's look at the evidence. And then let's call upon God and see what He'll do. And they called upon Baal and did everything they could, and slicing themselves and pouring out all, sacrificing their blood to this Baal, and nothing happened. And he says, he must be asleep. Either that or he doesn't exist. Now let's cry out to God. Called fire down from heaven. Yeah. That's the very same spirit that John the Baptist had. He did it because he wanted to lead people to serve God. In Luke 3, verses 7 to 15, that's what John tried to lead people to serve God. Repent and start doing right. And John actually preaches some of the Beatitudes and some of the Sermon on the Mount before Jesus preached it. Because he knew this is the ways of God. This is the ways of the New Testament. This is what Jesus is going to present to you. Their power came from their faith in God. In closing tonight, their power, they had the spirit and the power of Elijah. John the Baptist came in the spirit and the power. What God wants us to understand about Elijah and John and Christ and ourselves, spirit, right spirit. And have the power of God upon your life. Their power came from their faith in God. Elijah's power came from his confidence that God was God. Or he had never offered that challenge. What faith can do for one, it can do for another. What faith did for Elijah, it did for John. What faith did for John, it can do for you and me. Gave them power to accomplish what God had them here to accomplish. Their faith was dependent upon their knowledge, knowing what God would have them to do. And then their ability to do it. In closing, let's just look at two verses which are very familiar, but I think it wraps it all up. Romans chapter 12. Romans in chapter 12. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We need to communicate with God. If you don't have any faith, it's because you're not communicating with God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't have it, you're not communicating. You're not praying, you're not talking to God, and you're not letting God talk to you. If you want to increase your faith, spend more time with God. And once you've spent time with God, then go out and do what He tells you to do. Once you have the knowledge of knowing what's good, what God would have you to do, then go out and do it. Sad thing about it is most Christians know what they should be doing. They're just not doing it. And then they're confused on why we don't have the blessings of God. Why my faith is weak. Well, the book of Romans in chapter 12, it says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what He wants you to do. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is how you're going to do, get it done. Have the right knowledge. Have the knowledge of God. Have it in you. Be not conformed to this world. That's what most Christians who fail are doing. They're allowing the world to consume their thoughts and their ways. And they're conforming to the world instead of conforming to the image of Christ. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Once you know what the Bible says, once you know how God would have you live, now once you know what's right to do, then just go out. It's your reasonable service. Do it. That's where the power comes from. That's where Elijah's power came from. He lost power when he had a spiritual mental lapse. And he started running from Jezebel. He defeated all the prophets of Baal because he had faith. But then he got tired and weary and all the different things. Satan really worked on him. And he lost power because then he ran. Stopped communicating. God didn't tell him to run. John, there at the last, and right before Jesus says who John is, John shows a little lapse because of what was taking place. He was getting ready to lose his head. He knew that. And so he says, go ask and see if this is the one or we should ask for another. And Jesus knew what was taking place. He said, go back and just tell John what you see and what you hear. Because John knows if he just has reinforced what he already knows that the Messiah would do when he came, that'll be what he needs to strengthen him. Amen. That's why you come to church just a lot of times just to be reminded of what you already know. To be encouraged to do what you already know you ought to be doing. And when you lose sight of that, it's going to be much easier to get sidetracked and go a different direction. When you go a different direction, you're going to lose your power with God. Things changed when John came. He came in the spirit of Elijah. The spirit and the power of Elijah. This New Testament church age, all of us can live with the same spirit and the same power as Elijah, as John the Baptist, as Jesus Christ. Amen. Life of John the Baptist. What a great study. I trust it helped you tonight. Let's pray. Before we pray tonight, always going to be an invitation time. God spoke to you. If there's something that you need to bring to the altar, always the opportunity to respond to whatever God has spoken to you about. We're not going to have a musical invitation tonight, but there is an invitation. If you need to come for whatever reason, maybe you just need to come to pray. Maybe you need to come to possibly rededicate your life to gaining more knowledge, spending more time with God, maybe doing what you already know you ought to be doing. All those things is going to give you the very same power the faith gave Elijah, the faith gave John the Baptist. Faith did it for them. Faith will do it for us. Don't let your faith get weakened. Don't hinder it. Strengthen it. If you need to come for whatever reason, right now is invitation time. We invite you to come. If you need somebody to pray with, there'll be somebody here that can pray with you, study, open the Bible, show you whatever you need to, you're looking for.